Welcome to The Old World Lives, a Warhammer Fantasy Battles podcast. You can find us on Facebook at The Old World Lives, on Instagram at The Old World Lives, and you can reach us by email at theoldworldlives@gmail.com. And now, on to the episode. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of The Old World Lives, a Warhammer Fantasy Old World not a Heresy or 40k podcast, despite our attempts to make it a McCraggy episode last time. But yeah, enough about that. With me tonight, I have Niklas.
Hello.
And not Morten. Gimme.
See? Hi, glad to be here.
Yeah, sorry for mistaking you for Morten.
It's fine. I'll just take you when you sleep.
Yeah. Just going to hear ominous worm sign. And then everyone will believe it's Morten assassinating me to take my spot as the announcer of when the episode starts, which is pretty much what he did try to do last time, despite we just mentioning, yeah, just to record a main segment so we can do the intro later after the Adepticon then. Yeah. And as you can see, there's no Morten here tonight.
Been taken care of.
Yeah, Morten has been taken care of. Speaking of anything, really? Have anyone actually done any hobby since? I think, Jimmy, you haven't done an update for about 2 weeks, and Niklas, you haven't done an update since about four or five days ago, something like that.
So, hobby-wise, for me, I haven't done any painting or building. I did spray my orc shaman on a wyvern, so he's ready for paint, but nothing else.
I got a bunch of men-at-arms. I'm going to do something with paint eventually. Started building my Bretonnia foot knight as well. And I gotta say, I prefer like one piece metal models.
Aw, I was just going to ask, is the kit good? But it sounds like it isn't.
I mean, it's just a lot of bits you need to clip away and remove mold lines and stuff, and the shafts of the gray weapons are really thin. You got to be really careful.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, I would have preferred metal models. But yeah, otherwise it's nice. It's good that I can use the bits for the Pegasus Knights. Put some of the bits onto the flying boys, and it worked really well. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, fair enough. It would be interesting to see all of your Pegasus Knights finished later on.
Is like all the bits interchangeable, or is it just kind of like the heads only?
Can the arms
from the foot knights go on the Pegasus and the normal knights?
The shields, they're like the forearm molded on, so that's a bit of a hassle because the Pegasus Knights have the left arm molded on the model. So you have to clip that away.
Oh, yeah.
But it's pretty easy to clip away the Pegasus Knights. Also, like, the Pegasus Knights are this older kind of plastic that's a bit, like, grainy. You know what I mean?
I think I know what you mean.
So it's kind of easy to clip that away, actually, compared to, I don't know, the newer kind of plastic leaves. It's weird because I don't know if it's the mold that makes them like that, because I mean they must have made new ones, but I don't know, feels different to clip in compared to new plastic. But the heads work pretty well as well. You just have to cut a little bit in the bottom because the joints are like round joints on the new one, and the old ones they have a flat surface. So there's a little bit of work, but easy enough.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It's a nice kit.
Yeah, how do you find the scale of the foot knights compared to other people who have been horrified by it or don't care?
I mean, compared to the Pegasus Knights, the bits that you've seen doesn't look weird. It's not like the new Chaos guys that have tiny heads compared to the old ones. Looked a bit weird, I think. They look fine. Yeah, I don't have any actual knights that put next to them, but. And if they look bigger than the man-at-arms, then that's also fine. I mean, they should look bigger.
I mean, the Men-at-Arms kits is also smaller than the Empire models. So, doesn't matter. Peasants are small.
Yeah. It comes with malnourishment in generations.
Vertically handicapped. They're dwarfish people without the beard.
But you can't shave dwarves. That's a grave grudge.
That's a big grudge.
Speaking of grudges, I did get my Tiny Rhino chosen to be on the Hangout and Paint for the March of the Crag. Yeah, at least that's what I've been told and asked by staff of the Warhammer TV. Sadly, I haven't been able to see it because it hasn't been available on Watch Afterwards. And I was at work during the show. Yeah. So if any of our listeners have actually seen it and maybe just know that if my Rhino was there, please mention it to us. It would be nice. I would rather just want to see that, just to see all of the other lovely entries for March of the Crag, but yeah. Yeah. Also, I have been starting a new square-based project.
A new project? You mean like a...
Well, actually started a project. Actually painted square-based models. Or started painting.
Ooh, do tell.
Yeah, is this a tank I bought and put on square base?
With crown?
Yeah. It's a Typhon. It's just a massive steam tank. Joke aside, I have a base and started painting 10 infantry models that will be a secret until I actually reveal them. Just don't put pressure on myself, obviously.
Now we will pressure you into telling us. When is it down, Chris? You gotta let us know. What is it?
We need to know now. Tell us now.
Well, it's square based on 25mm bases, and it's 10 of them. That should be enough. The details, I think.
Are they humanoid?
They are humanoid. They are not.
Of course, they're humanoid.
They're not clad in power armor either. So,
do they have long hair?
Some of them do. And is this just turned into an episode of? Non-visual guess who? Does this person have a glasses and red hair?
Do they wear things in Ithilmar?
Possibly, maybe, or something similar. But enough about that. Has there been any news since last recorded? I don't think so.
No. I mean, the dwarves were announced, but I don't know. Because like things are announced, but you never know what's actually out there. What's been released, what is out of stock.
So. Yeah.
I know one thing for sure. Everything that was released on the day for the Orcs and Goblins was out of stock within 15 minutes.
Yep. They are doing heresy upgrade. Oh, wait, on the pre-order is the next week is the heresy upgrades for Blood Angels with the swords and spear and bolters and stuff and the tank kit. But other than that, there's custodes and orcs. And that's orcs with a K, not a C. So there's not much news, I think.
Have you talked about the gnomes from Blood Bowl?
Ooh, the gnomes.
Yes, the gnomes. The cousins to the dwarves. Also short, also hairy.
But yeah.
Friendly to nature.
And does not toss large pots of bad soup at people.
Exactly. But they do have other contraptions.
They added the gnomes back to the fantasy in the role-playing books.
Yeah, yeah. They did.
But they could be available.
It's a possibility.
Also, they got the angry geese in the kit.
Yeah.
Slowly. And a badger and fox.
Angry geese and badgers. That's more than enough for me to not play Blood Bowl.
Yeah, but just...
I could play with the models, but I would never play on an actual field with wild animals.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah. Skaven, I'm fine with. Orcs, but wild animals? Ooh, they're dangerous.
Yeah, but that goose is just fantastic, actually.
Yeah, it is. Put a knife in its mouth, and it's a perfect champion for an Empire unit.
Or put it in front of a unit of Bretonnian peasants and they think it's dinner.
What's that goose game called?
I don't know, but it's untitled.
Exactly. Untitled goose game. I'd be perfect. It'd be perfect.
Untitled goose game.
Yeah.
Out of expansion.
I mean, I just hate going around the GW website. It's so horrible.
They are like 10 articles down on the Worm community. But do you think that Goose was the cause of the window tax riots? The instigator?
It must be. Must have been. That Goose is behind everything bad that ever happened in Warhammer Fantasy. It's just, the evil Goose.
He just honked at the tax collector and then the riots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I know that at least some of us have played games, not me, obviously. But we could start, I think Niklas said he mentioned right before we started recording that he had been playing a game or two.
Yeah, I played two games yesterday. And I thought I'd try my Dark Elves the first time in the world. Because I realized they can skirmish their Dark Riders.
Oh, and yeah, they can.
This is something I wanted to do since I've seen these pictures of the Ungol horse archers from the fourth edition when they could skirmish. I always thought really cool with skirmishing light cavalry. So I wanted to give it a go. And also, in general, just try Dark Elves in the new edition. And it's a lot of fun. We played a 1250 game, which I think is a pretty good size, actually. So we have a new guy. It's new to fantasy in general, and then also it's new edition, so it's nice to play some smaller games to just get the game over faster to play another one and learn more, basically. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really like the new edition for Dark Elves, actually, because somehow it feels freer when you're building your list. So I always thought in 6th edition, and also when I made a list for 8th edition, that it, you always have issues with Dark Elves to fit in what you want to have in your army. Because in 6th edition, you have the slots restrictions, and in 8th edition, you have the percentages. And then, but I can't remember, in 8th edition, you have lords and heroes. Are they separate?
They're separate in 8th edition.
Yeah. So then, like, it's easier now when characters are just one.
Yeah. The characters was like this in 4th and 5th edition. In End Times, it was also 50% total for Lords and Heroes. But nobody played End Times.
Ghost Elves? What's that? And having Malekith just turn out to be good? What's that? That is,
unheard of.
Yeah, sorry. Let's move away from that topic. And please continue, Niklas.
So, yeah, my list was two units of Dark Riders, a unit of 8 with crossbows, and a unit of 8 with full command with no crossbows. Hydra, High Beastmaster Manticore, High Beastmaster Keith, and I named his, or Manfred helped me name his Manticore. It's named Bumblebee now. All tremble before Bumblebee the Manticore. And what else did I have? A level 2 wizard on Dark Steed. And yeah, two chariots, one with a hero on it. Yeah, I really liked it. You can really fit in like what you want now without having to worry too much about how many of each unit you can have. I think it feels a bit freer now, somehow. First game I played against Chaos, against Yarsh. He had a lot of monsters as well. He had Chimera, the flies, and a demon prince, and a spawn, and some marauders. And demon prince looks terrifying, but it seems like it can die very easily because of combat resolution. Did you play Chaos yet, Jimmy?
I play Chaos, but only mortals so far. No demon prince.
Okay. Now I'd like to hear what you think of it later. Because it seems quite hard to use, but it seemed hard to use in previous editions as well. Because in 6th edition, it could poof, as we both know very well. Yeah.
I mean, Demon Princess in 8th edition, that was the shit, I tell you. Demon Princess was the best goddamn unit in Chaos back then. And of course, it had to be a Nurgle Demon Prince. Because you could mix marks and everything.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of marks now as well? Are they useful at all? Or?
They're useful. You can mix them in this edition as well. But they're useful. And for me, who plays against trolls from time to time and demons, it's very nice to have the Mark of Siege. Because the Mark of Siege gives all your models flaming attacks, which is nice. And since I have a lot of guys with single hand weapons, you get magical attacks as well. So that's good against demons, ghosts, and trolls when you play the Troll Horde. Because Troll Horde can get a reroll on their regeneration, unless the attack is magical. So magical attacks is good against the Troll Horde. And especially good since Mark of Siege, flaming attacks. Do the math.
Yeah, nice.
Fair enough.
Yeah, haven't played the Troll Horde yet with my Siege army, but eventually it'll happen.
Yeah. So I really like the Beastmaster in this edition as well. It's a cool character. You can goad beasts, giving them plus D3 attacks. Can give the monsters, including his Manticore mount, which is very painful. And that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to try monsters as well because I heard the monsters are the bomb in this edition, and yeah, they seem really good, especially like character mounts that enhance the stats of the rider, because you get like all the benefits of each, like you strike against the weapon skill of the rider, which is 7. But then you get plus toughness and plus wounds. You can't really target just a rider. So, yeah, it seems pretty strong. And I noticed that when I played against the High Elves, they had like a Griffin rider. That monsters seem to be really good. And like with the fallback in good order and stuff, like you're not going to overrun them as easily as well. And can quite easily just retreat to safe distance. But yeah, a lot of fun. And the next game I played against the Manfred's Chaos Dwarves. It's also interesting to see how they play in this edition. So I played against... what was the first game I played? I can't remember. But I played against loads of different armies now. So it's been great to see how they all play and how different they are. Because I think like the strength with Warhammer Fantasy in general is how different the armies are. Yeah. Which also is a bit shit in 8th edition, I think, because most people built the armies in the same way, like with big infantry box and a level 4 mage and stuff. So I really like to see a different character to each army, which I definitely think I've seen now. So the Chaos Dwarves, they're very tough. Tougher than regular dwarves, I would say. Like their base warriors have strength 4, which is incredible. And
do you know why that is?
Because they're
not normal Chaos Dwarves. The Chaos Dwarves they built the army for, that's an elite army.
So the Infernal Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they're like longbeards. That's the thing with them. They're like longbeards.
Because yeah, that's like from the Tamarkon list. I mean, they made them for that. Are they Infernal Guard? I thought they were like a different.
No, they're
in this edition as well.
They're all like elite dudes.
I thought it was because they were fed a demon cow milk.
Well, one thing doesn't include the other, Chris.
That's true.
Infernal Guarders drink Infernal Camel.
Yep, that's true. It's nice to hear that you've been facing such a variety of armies. So far.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Really like the edition so far. I think also, like, it is a great game. I don't know what else to say. Like, I think people are expecting so much that you're going to, like, find something incredibly weird with the game. Like, so different from the other editions. But it's just super solid. Like, It's very fun to build army lists. The game itself works really well. It takes some time to get used to the fallback in good order and stuff, but overall, it's just a fantastic new addition.
Totally agree.
So, Jimmy, did you have a tale about hugging?
This is a very huggable tale. Earlier today, I brought my dwarves to play against the Troll Horde. And it was a special game. The lists, we played 1,500 points. The troll list had a troll hag, a unit of 7 stone trolls with great weapons, 4 river trolls with great weapons, a unit of 6 common trolls with great weapons, a unit of 4 common trolls with hand weapons, and a giant. I don't remember if the troll hag had any magic items, but yeah, didn't matter. She did all she could either way. And I fielded my dwarves. I had 15 hammerers with the fabulous Rune of Confusion and a dwarf lord. 20 rangers fully kitted and in skirmish formation, because skirmish is great. 2 ball throwers, 1 stone thrower, 16 dwarf warriors, a rune smith. Yeah, not a rune lord. This was a rune smith. And I had like 110 points, and I was like, either I can get myself a slayer character, or I can try out the new ogres. So I bought a unit of 3 ogres and added to the list.
Nice.
They were fun. Yeah, they were kind of fun. 110 points. Unit champion, all ogres had unique weapons, because I had these man-eater models from before, like the man-eater ninja, the female ogre with a fake beard holding her weapon over her shoulder, and the paymaster ogre. So
I mean, if you have those models, which are just fabulous, you just use them. But
yeah,
it was like this. There are some of the best models that have been released, to be honest.
They are. And my my dwarf lord, he had the Rune of Adamant, so I had a toughness 10. So I knew that it was going to be hard for the trolls to get through him. And the runesmith was running around alone, just hiding in the woods so he could dispel the troll hag spells. He only got to dispel one spell, because then the troll hag was always in close combat. So it was a miss to bring him. But here's a cautious tale, because there's a lot of people out there who still play the game with smaller bases or don't use spacers / new movement race. And if you do like me and play with smaller bases, it's going to be a hard time if you face things like the troll hag. Because the troll hag has a hug attack, where she places a 5-inch blast template on the unit. This made her hit the whole goddamn unit of dwarf warriors. 16 hits! Killed all but one, which was stomped to death later. All models in the hug takes a strength 6 AP minus 2 hit.
Oof.
Yeah, and when I charged the hag in the flank, it was like, yeah, I'm going to use my great weapons, because she has a high toughness, so I need to wound her. So my heavy armor did shit, and they all died. So troll hags are dangerous. Then she also had an attack, which is called Mother, where she picks up one model in base contact and cradles it like a baby. So she obviously picked my dwarf lord. And the model takes D3 plus 1 automatic wounds with no armor or ward save. No, no armor and no regen save. You can take ward. But since I had toughness 10, I couldn't take any other armor runes and had no ward save. So my dwarf lord died, being motherly loved by a big troll. But eventually the hammerers managed to bring her down, and she fell down on them, and there was like 2 or 3 hammerers left alive. I think I had like 3 hammerers, my runesmith, and a bolt thrower. It was the only surviving models in my army. The trolls had a lot of more surviving models. So what I need to do is don't take other war machines other than the flame cannon, which is super, super important to have. And for God's sake, never throw a character in with a troll hag, ever. That's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. But it was a super fun game. We had a lot of laughs. It was super thematic as well. But this is going to be one of those games that stays in my heart for a long, long time.
Nice.
I think next time I'm going to bring the Scene Charmy and give him a taste of flaming attacks.
Yeah, we did discuss right before this episode, me and Jimmy, even before Niklas joined in, that he should find those old templates for grudges that were in several different publications back in the day, but was easily found on the Gameswars website once in a time, where you could just write down what happened and send a grudge to your opponent.
That's going to happen, and I'm going to feel the unit of Slayers at least next game.
Yeah, Hag Slayers.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get hugged to death, and then you have to find new Slayers.
Yeah, it's going to happen, but who am I to judge?
Just going to have to wait till the book is released and you can use the Doomseekers, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, me for one, I really want to do a Slayer list because Angrim Iron Fist Jung model is perfection.
Yeah, that model is fantastic. We mentioned that in our Adepticon recap, Niklas, that it would probably be a model that people just buy to paint.
Yeah.
So that's so in short, never leave home without flaming attacks, and don't go into close combat with a troll hag, and for God's sake, get bigger bases. Always get bigger bases or spacers. You need it.
Yeah, that's true for many times when many things in life.
It's a big pain in my ass with the dark elves because I have so many different units in there, and like all the monsters that are like on 100x50, they should now be on like 100x60. It's just really annoying because then I can't just put them in like a spacer even.
I know there actually is a spacer for that, which has been 3D printed. I can show you later.
Like slide them in, kind of.
Yeah, and they fit perfectly.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's also like now that I fixed my monster bag, they're not gonna fit in there if I give them bigger bases. So yeah, I didn't think it would be a pain in the ass with these new base sizes, but I think
it was. It kind of was.
Yeah.
But I reckon we should at least have some talk about what's new that isn't related to models that you talked about in last episode. So there's a green menace on the horizon that has been previewed, has been pre-orderable, and has been sold out in that order.
Yeah.
And now, at least this little chat should not be limited. Or maybe. Patreon episode. No, but there's a reason why we really wanted to have Jimmy on for this episode. We did want to have someone else play the Greenskins on as well, but that should be for a future episode when we will have a full proper special with comparisons. But yeah, Jimmy, lead us into.
But I do believe we can talk about the Arcane Journal of the Orcs and Goblins tribe.
Exactly.
So this book, it has two different lists, which is the Nomadic War, which people from 6th edition remember from the back of the book in the Orcs and Goblins army book, which is a fully mounted army. And then you have the Troll Horde, which is a new army where you can have a troll character. The good thing about these two armies is regarding the troll army, you get the troll hag, which can also be used in a normal Orcs and Goblins army. And in the book, you also get a number of new magic items, which can also be used in the normal army book. So this is pretty much a DLC book, which is good. It has some lore, has a new scenario, which is specifically written for the Nomadic Wall, I believe. Let's see here. Yeah, it's an ambush at Winter's Teeth Pass, where a dwarf column is trying to go through the pass, and they get flanked by the Greenskins. And yeah, I haven't read too much in the scenario, but the good thing is you get good carts, goods carts, which is piloted by a dwarf and a draft pony. So you can use the pony models that you have to play the scenario, and you need at least three of them. But going to the Nomadic War. I'm
going to need a new pony.
Huh?
I'm going to need another pony. I only have...
Yeah, get a third one. Or build one from green stuff. I don't know. buy a little pony toy or whatever. You can do it. So, the Nomadic War. So, normally, 50% characters, which can be spent on 0-1 Black Orc War Boss or Black Orc Big Boss per Black Orc Chariot, which is a new rare unit for this army. Yeah, so it's pretty much just a chariot with black orcs, and apart from normal chariots, these single heavy chariots can buy banners, so you have a standard on your chariot, which the big boss and war boss can also do, like buy a normal banner without being a battle standard bearer. But I don't think they can have any magic banners on these chariot banners. Nope, doesn't look like it. Then you can have 0-1 Orc War Boss or Orc Weird Knob per 1,000 points. And then you can have as many Orc Big Bosses, Orc Weird Boys, Goblin Bosses, and Goblin Shamans as you want. But they all need to be mounted on either a steed or a chariot or a monster. And for core, 25% can be spent on Goblin Wolf Riders and Wolf Chariots. So you can build a full chariot list here.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. If your general is an orc boss of any kind, 0-1 orc boar boy mob can be taken as a core choice. So you can build a boar army eventually. And if the general is a black orc of any kind, the chariot can be a black orc chariot can be taken as a core choice. And then you have the usual 50% for special, which is orc boar boys, orc boar chariots, and snotling pump wagons. And for rare choices, like I said before, black orc boar chariots. But then you also have giants. I know giants they're not mounted on anything, but they're fast enough to keep up with the army. And then we for once have mercenaries. These two mercenary units can be used in other armies apart from the orcs and goblins. We have the Badland Ogre Bulls, which is like Dogs of War. We talked about it before, likely. So this can be used in any army as a mercenary unit. And then we have the 0-1 Bone Grinder Giant. And the Bone Grinder Giant can only be in the Orcs and Goblins, the Beastmen, or the Chaos Army. And apart from the new units, the Nomadic War also have some extra special rules. We have the Cunning Hunters, where Goblin Wolf Riders can buy the rule Ambushers for 1 point per model, and characters can buy the rule Ambusher for 10 points per model. So you can play an ambushing force, which is kind of fun. Hit them fast and hit them hard. Let's see here. Okay. Orc models that are mounted on War Boars gains impact hit 1, which is nice. And they use the impact hit strength of the boar, with armor piercing of -1. And 0-1, whoa, this is good. 0-1 orc boar boys mob per 1,000 points can have the Vanguard special rule for a points per model. So getting a one move before the battle begins, it's kind of nice. Hunting packs. So any goblin wolf riders within the army can exchange open order and skirmishers for close order and horde. So you can have a fighty goblin wolf mob. This is good, because there is a certain special character which goes well with this. Then we have on the move, which is all characters must be mounted. And solitary fighters. Black Orc's bosses in the Nomadic War are not subject to the boys rule or quell impetuosity. So you need to stick with the impetuosity rule within the army. So it's a bit of hit and miss. Any questions so far?
No, it's not cool. Can you take any magic banners from the Wolfriders?
Yeah, they can take a magic banner up to 50 points.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just was thinking, was the Bone Grinder Giant on the preview for kits that were coming back? Or made to order?
I think it's part of the coming back.
Yeah, otherwise I was just thinking.
He's back, online only, and 1,800 Swedish kroner. It's an expert kit.
Yeah, because it's forged with resin. They're all collected kits.
Yep.
I was just thinking if you could use the Gate Crasher and those from Age of Sigmar instead.
I mean, I think you should be able to use them because, I mean, the Bone Grinder is like a head taller than those guys.
Yeah.
So it should be fine.
Yeah, it's not much the difference there.
Yeah. As long as the giant is bigger than the normal giants,
yeah,
it should be fine.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you use the old, like the Marauder Giant or the first giant that was released for like six dead, or the plastic giant, but I just wanted to know that because there's so many lovely giants out there and they should all be able to be used. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to go through the special character, which goes with the Nomadic War here, which is Kicknick Tooth Snatcher. He's a goblin war boss mounted on a wolf called Chompa. So this is like the normal kind of goblin war boss, except he has a leadership of 8, which is really good. He costs 105 points, and his wolf has strength 4 and 2 attacks. He's a light cavalry guy. He have a cavalry spear. He has a magic weapon called the Skull Smasher, shield and light armor. And special rule, he has all sneaky-like, ambushers, armor bane 1, which is Chompa only, armored hide, so he gets better armor save, chariot runners, so he can run around chariots, fast cavalry, fear elves, impetuous, and it and run, rallying cry, swift stride, and warband. And the all sneaky-like special rule is 0 to 1 goblin wolf rider mob can gain the rules for ambushers without paying the points for it. And, I mean, paying 1 point per model, that's not too bad. But the thing is, when you use this guy in a normal army, because ambushers isn't a normal rule for wolf riders, so this guy can be in a normal orcs and goblins army, and suddenly you get ambushing wolf riders. Yeah. And it can run. If they win a combat, they don't have to pursue or stay. The unit can instead fall back in good order and then regroup.
Nice.
Yeah, so this helps you getting away from all these weird situations where the enemy can do a counterattack on you. So this guy can just, like, after you win a combat, you just pull back and you're back in the game again. He has a trophy rack. When he joins a unit, it costs fear and he adds plus 1 combat resolution, which is good, but only during a charge. And then we have the weapon, the Skull Smasher, which is a pick hammer, which you can use either the hammer side or the pick side. If you use the hammer side, he gets plus 2 strength, minus 1 AP, armor bane 2, and magical attacks. If you use the pick, he uses his own strength, AP minus 2, armor bane 2, magical attacks, and multiple wounds 2. So for 105 points, this guy, he's really cheap. He's really good as well. I mean, leadership 8 on a goblin, that's really nice.
Yeah.
And being able to actually have a fighty close order wolf rider unit with him as well. And I mean, since goblin bosses are sheep, you can add more goblin bosses to the unit as well to give them more hitting power.
I really wish Kessel will get that hit and run rule.
I hope so. Otherwise we can try and do our own house ruling and write our rules for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope that this hit and run rule gets, well, in some more armies as well, eventually.
It's a cool rule. Yeah, should be just a special rule.
Yeah. And then we have the Orcs and Goblins Tribes Troll Horde, which is really good. You get normally 50% can be used on characters. So you can have 0-1 Orc War Boss or Weird Knob per 1,000 points. Orc Big Bosses, Weird Boys, Weird Boys, Goblin Bosses, Goblin Shamans, and Troll Hags can be bought as well. For the core, you need 33% on core. And one troll mob per 1,000 points has to be core. 0-1 additional troll mob may be used taken as a core choice per troll hag taken. And then you have the usual orc mobs, goblin spider riders, and goblin wolf rider mobs. Special, up to 50%, which is troll mobs and goblin wolf chariots. And you can have 0-1 orc boar boys or 0-1 orc boar chariots per 1,000 points. And up to 25% can be spent on giants. And for these guys as well, mercenaries are Badland Ogre Bulls and the Bone Grinder Giant. And for special rules for the army, we have Troll Tongue, which unlocks a new lore of magic for the Orcs and Goblin Shamans, which a Troll Hag also can use. We have Oi! This way! Where all Shamans in the army can act as a general for the trolls regarding leadership. But they can only use the leadership as their range. It's called the command range, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So any shaman can use, and troll hag, can use their leadership characteristic to boost the trolls close to them. And then we have the good rule here, which is enhanced regeneration. So any model which has regeneration can reroll it against mundane, non-magical attacks. So that's really good. So it gives them the bit of survivability which they need.
I was thinking, I mean, you could just load up Rune of Burning everywhere with your dwarves.
But you can't. Not everywhere.
Are there any other, like, 5-point runes?
I don't think that rune is 10 points nowadays.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard to spam it, but possible, but hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or just play Chaos, Mark of Siege. Helps out. But yeah. The Troll Hag. She's a beast for 235 points. Movement 5, Weapon Skill Blade Skill 2, Strength 6, Toughness 5, 6 wounds, Initiative 2, 3 attacks, Leadership 8. Leadership 8 is good. Because of stupidity. She has stupidity. She has heavy armor because of the scale of skin she has. She has close order, flammable, immune to psychology, indiscriminate hunger, so she can eat at models in the command phase. No, the strategy phase. I'm sorry. She's a large target. She has a special attack called Motherly Love. Regeneration 5+. Slimy Shanks. So -1 to hit her. Stomp attacks D6, Stupidity, Terror, Timber, and Unbreakable. And the Indiscriminate Hunger. During the command subphase, if she's engaged in close combat, the engaged unit can take an initiative test. If they fail, they suffer a wound. So they don't take a wound which they can save, they just suffer a wound. So you go past all the saves, regenerations, and everything. And the Troll Hag heals one wound, and the target unit suffers one wound. Because she takes a big bite of it. Even works on monsters. And as we all know, monsters usually have piss initiative. The special attack, Motherly Love. Instead of attacking normally, she can roll on a table, much like the giants do. If she smothered the enemy, you place a 5-inch large template on the unit. And they all take a strength 6 hit with -2.
Yes.
Yeah. It sucks, especially with smaller bases. And if you roll a 3 or 4, Mother, one model in base contact suffers D3+1 wounds with no armor or regeneration saves. So yeah, that's how we kill Dwarf Lords. And then you have Mither, where she bombards the enemy with a tirade of slaps and a torrent of unintelligible trollish invective. So she just, like we say in Sweden, aga. So the target unit suffered D6 plus 1 hits using the strength of the troll model with no armor saves. In addition, so shocked is the target unit at the end of this turn it suffered a minus 1 to its leadership. Wow. Damn.
You get laughed by a big troll mom.
Yeah. And then she has the Swamp Breath, which is a breath attack. Strength 3, minus 2 AP, breath weapon. And if you take one unsaved wound from this, you need to take a panic test, as if you had taken a heavy casualty. And then we have the Troll Vomit. So it's an automatic strength 3 hit with minus 2 AP after stomp attacks.
Perfect.
Yeah. And if you have a Troll Mother, which is a Troll Mother, in any army using the Orcs and Goblins tribe, Grand Army composition can include one or more Troll Mobs. If you include one or more troll mobs, can include 0-1 troll hag as a rare choice. And the troll hag comes as level 1 wizard and can be upgraded to a level 2 and purchase up to 50 points of magic items. So giving her like a talisman of protection, she's going to be quite survivable. And then we have the troll shaman. Let's see here. It's an orc, which trolls believe is a troll, actually. Ogdras Swamp Digger. He has the usual stats for a level lord wizard for the orcs. He has lore familiar, so he can pick his spells, which is nice. He can use either elementalism or troll magic. He has a chopper, the special rule troll caller, which, unless he's fleeing, his command range can be used for leadership character. For trolls, just like the usual rule for the troll army. But the thing is, if this model is in a normal Orcs and Goblins army, trolls can use his leadership instead of their own within a range of 8 inches. He has Protect the Boss, which is a special rule for him as well, where He is normal infantry, while trolls are monstrous infantry. But he can still hide close to those units because they protect him. So you can't pick him out unless he's the closest target. Ignore Goblin Panic, Warband Special Rule, and Siphon Strength, which is Siphon Strength. Whilst Ogros is within 3 inches of a friendly troll mob with a unit strength of 6 or more, and he is not fleeing, he may apply plus one modifier to casting his spells, which is nice. He have the Trollhide Shawl, which is a magic item, which gives him one better armor save, which is 6 plus now. And let's see here. He also gets regeneration 5 plus and flammable special rule because he carries the skin of a troll. And then we have the Bog Wood Staff, which is two-handed weapon, plus 2 strength, and minus 1 AP, magical attacks. But for each unsaved wound inflicted by this weapon, Ogdras may recover a lost wound, which is nice. And yeah, I think that's all the characters. And then we have the Lore of Troll Magic, which is very, very important for them to use in their army. We know that stupidity is a thing, and their signature spell is called Big Smarts, which is an enchantment cast on 8 plus, cast on self. Remains in play. Whilst the spell is in play, friendly units within the command range of this model may re-roll any failed stupidity tests. Additionally, if a friendly unit within the command range of this spell has already failed their stupidity test at the start of the turn, it may immediately take the test again. So if you failed the test previously, you can reroll it. This is good. Then we have a magic missile called Acidic Bile, cast on 8 plus, 18 inches. It's a 3-inch small template. It will scatter D3 plus 1 inch. And enemy models completely beneath it. Let's see here. Takes a strength 3, AP minus 2 hit. And then we have partials. The spell Troll Brains, which is a hex, cast on 9+, 15 inches, remains in play. Whilst the spell is in play, the target enemy unit becomes subject to stupidity and reduces their leadership by -1. Ravenous Recourse is a conveyance spell. This is really good. Casting 8+, cast on self. Until the end of this turn, all friendly units that have the stupidity special rule and are within 12 inches of the caster, so this isn't the caster itself, I believe, gains +2 modifier to the movement characteristics. So you suddenly have movement 8 trolls. So they can't use this for charges, but you can move up very fast. So you're going to have a 16-inch moving trolls. That's dangerously, dangerously stupid, and I love it. And then we have their magical vortex, the Foetid Whirlpool. Cast on 9+, 18 inches. It remains in play. Place a small 3-inch template. And while it's in play, the template is treated as dangerous terrain. It moves d6 in a random direction during every start of turn phase. Any enemy unit moving over the template, well, no. Any enemy unit moving template touches or moves over suffers d3+3, strength 4 hits, with an AP of -2. So don't go through this tornado of swamp water. Torrent of Filth. Their assailment spell, cast on 8+. Yeah, so place a flame template so the narrow end touches the caster's base edge and the broad edge of the unit. Everyone hit by it takes a strength 3 hit at AP -2. And then we have the Rapid Regeneration. Enchantment, 9+. Range 12 inches. Until the end of your turn starts up phase, target friendly unit gains a flammable and regeneration 5+ special rule. So suddenly you can have any unit with regeneration.
Nice.
And within the troll horde, that means you can reroll it as well. And for magic items, I think we're going to go through magic items when we actually go through the whole Orcs and Goblins army, because some of these are classics dating back to 6th edition and earlier.
How many new magic items did you get?
Let's see here. We have 4 new weapons, 2 new armor, 2 talismans, 4 banners, 3 enchanted items, and 3 arcane items. So quite a few.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And a lot of them are actually good as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the dwarves will get new runes with their arcane journal.
I certainly hope so.
I really
hope. Or at least runic items of legends, like they actually get magic items.
Yeah. I really hope they'll give them a rune of accuracy.
Yeah, I really miss that rune because I never hit with my bolt throwers. and I always scatter with my stone throwers, so I need a rune of accuracy now more than ever.
Yeah.
But I've actually been thinking about doing a troll army but using Fimir models instead of trolls.
Uh-huh.
Because the I think it's called the Mirg or the Driach is the leader for the Fimir, their queen, so to say. She's big, and the troll hag size hits the bill.
Yeah, I also have some Fimir actually laying around.
I actually have a pack of unbuilt Fimir in front of me here. I also ordered some third party old school Fimir models the other day from Satyr Studios, and they look amazing. They're like based of the old sketches of the Fimirs.
Nice. And you're saying you're considering building a troll army with Fimir? Sounds like you're already doing it.
Sounds like I'm already doing it. I need to see the size of these third party models first, because I think they're small, but we'll see.
play them as swamp trolls then, or what's the difference between trolls as well?
Well, normal trolls, well, they're just normal. Stone trolls, they have one better leadership and one better armor save and magic resistance one on their unit. And the river trolls, they have one more wound than the other trolls. I do miss the whole sticky situation that the river trolls used to have when the enemy got -1 to hit them.
Well, what model would you use for the normal trolls though? Is that the one you got in Battle of Skull Pass kind of troll?
Yeah, that's one of them. And then you have the two trolls that got released. Well, re-released. But
they actually do that, right?
Yeah.
Like the kind of stupid looking green troll.
But I think, I mean, my favorite troll is the stone trolls. And I like both the Age of Sigmar stone trogoths and the original stone trolls. But yeah, I think I'm going to order the stone trolls eventually soon. They haven't got up for made to order just yet.
All right.
I mean, I thought these were going to be cheaper, but they weren't. I was looking at the Lord of the Rings trolls. They're super expensive.
Well, the cave trolls or the armored ones?
All of them. I mean, a single cave troll, 300 Swedish kroner. You have half trolls, but they're on 25 mil basis.
Yeah.
And then you have the trolls. You know, the guys around the campfire. 630 kroner. This is outrageous. But if you want to buy the common trolls from the G-Dubs website, it's 300 Swedish kroner, which is, I think that's okay. That's for two trolls.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, should be able to get like a lot of those Lord of the Rings ones secondhand, though. You got them in the Moria starter box.
Oh, yeah, you did. Were you able to build a troll in various ways, or was it like only one?
Only one. Or maybe you could change between a spear and a club.
But yeah, getting trolls secondhand, or, I mean, there's always third party troll models out there as well. Which made me Google. I mean, there's also all these STLs out there. I hear that 3D printing is a thing nowadays.
It is. I saw a post of someone asking, like, what model is this? Is 3D printed? Some old Forge World Tau suits. Like, 3D printing is going so good now that people are doubting it's even real. What's the real models nowadays?
I never thought I was going to say this, but over at the, I did some Googling now, and over at the Ninth Age forums, there's a full thread with alternative troll models, and they're all actually good alternatives.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. They come in all various variations and like aesthetics. Some are classic Warhammer, some look like Lord of the Rings, and some look like John Bauer trolls.
Ooh. That's a great variation, then.
Yeah. So there's definitely some trollish types for everyone out there.
There's plenty of trolls on the internet.
Yeah. Oh god, there's even some Chaos trolls here, and a Yeti. No, it's not a Yeti. It's a snow troll. oh, God. It just reminds me of the stone trolls. Well, the snow trolls in Skyrim. I hate them. I just hate those trolls. I just got PTSD. Away from that site.
Before you buy stuff, eh?
Yeah. Avatars of War also have some trolls. Multipart. Cool. And they look very Warhammery.
Yeah, but that's not too surprising, actually.
Yeah.
They were they had lines that were quite meant to fit into as alternatives for 8th edition, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we had for tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So just a short view into the new Orcs and Goblins in preparation for actually having a proper Orcs and Goblins special.
Yeah, and pairing the new with the old.
Yeah, as we mentioned, since there are quite large differences between some armies, we might have to do new specials, maybe even finish the ones that we haven't done yet in due time. Given that there's so much more to draw from now, it is probably just prudent to do it with the old world in mind, so to speak. Obviously, still having 6th edition focus for the specials. But there's more than one rule set that we can draw from.
Yeah.
Anyone have anything else to add to this discussion today?
No.
I think we're good.
Yeah. And I would thank everyone for listening and see you in the next episode.
And remember, stay square.